What's wrong with you people?
Welcome to Not Another Baptist Podcast. And Kyle, yesterday, I want to give a shout out to a guy that I had a cup of coffee with. He is a deacon at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano. And he is a literal longtime fan, and it was amazing. And so, David, if you hear this, love you. Really had a great time with you. What was amazing, though, is he is talking about this podcast and about, yeah, you know, they were in New Mexico, and then I think they left, and I don't really know where they're at. And I said, well, one's right across the table from you right now. He said, are you serious? And had no idea. And my favorite thing that he said is this was actually before the realization that this was me that he was talking to, is he said, hey, my favorite episode y'all ever did, like one of them, or y'all, this is still before he knew it was us, that they ever did, was one that one of the guys was like out of town or doing something. The other one was like in Puerto Rico, and they had this youth pastor on, and I love what that youth pastor was about. And so that made my little heart, you know, swell a little bit.
Yeah, that's great.
Liked an episode. His favorite episode, in fact, was one that you were not on.
That I was not on.
Yeah, and it just feels like being left out a little bit, Kyle. Like maybe y'all are currently going to be left out of the playoffs if you don't get your act together, Kyle Bierman. Because now, after how many months? It feels like a decade. We are back in first-ish, technically first, but not first because we have one more loss than them, but I don't know how it works. But what I do know is holding firmly to third place is the New York Rangers. I mean, the Texas Rangers. Yep. How are you doing, Kyle?
I am. Hey, you know what? I am serving the Lord, and I am happy, and my identity is not found in baseball now. Yeah. So.
Now it's not. It was. hey, speaking of Cameron, he'll be listening in too. He likes to give me a hard time about these episodes in our long, drawn-out intros, I guess. They're only a few minutes. But anyway, we kicked off Havoc, which is having a vision of Christ or something like that. I don't know. Havoc is what you have when you have a bunch of teens. But he kicked it off yesterday. And before we went, my girls and I went to the new coffee shop in town run by our neighbors, our literal neighbors. And I gave them each the challenge to guess how many students were going to be there. And they kind of disappointed him because all of them, it was like 31, 34, 37, you know, somewhere in there. And I said, whoever's closest without going over is going to get a blizzard. And so I sent their guesses to him, and he's like, well, okay. I was hoping for 45, but okay. And so we ended up with 41, which is incredible. Awesome. Because when we came here, it was in the single digits when we got here. And so God's doing an incredible work in and through him. He's doing a great job here at First Farmersville, also helping us voluntold to have put on a youth retreat with Dr. Matt Queen and Daniel Ritchie, other friends of the pods. This pod is on fire. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
A long time ago. But yeah, so Cameron's doing a great job. We had a great night. He killed it. And then I did what I always love. You know, when those church members give you that constructive criticism right after your sermon, I saw him go to his office. I said, hey, can I give you some unsolicited advice? And I went right for the jugular. No, he's doing a great job. Did a great job. There's a small tweak to his Bible reading and scripture reading that I gave him. And so, Cameron, I love you. That was all in love, meant to be a better you, right? Or as you like to say, Cameron, do better. Kyle, what are we talking about today?
Hey.
A mess. We're talking about a mess.
Yep.
Kyle, so, you've got kids.
Yes.
They don't ever have a messy room.
Oh, my word. They don't never not have a messy room.
That's true.
So yeah, in the in church revitalization, church replanting, especially when you arrive at a new spot, for a while you are going to be cleaning up messes that you did not make. And quite honestly, sometimes you're gonna be cleaning up a mess and folks don't even know it's a mess or the extent of the mess. But as the pastor, their mess becomes your mess suddenly, right? When you say, yes, I feel called to this church, that mess becomes yours. And managing it, cleaning it up as much as possible becomes your responsibility in part, not sole responsibility, but responsibility in part as the pastor. Now, here's the trick, Matt, and here's what they don't tell you, is that in and among that pile of garbage that you're having to clean up, there are grenades hidden. And if you step on them, you can blow off your leg or, you know, completely blow up your church. And that's the fun of cleaning up these messes, is that there are hidden, there are these hidden mines that if
you... There you go. That's the word you were looking for.
Yes, mine. Yeah, because you step on a grenade, it's not going to... But yeah, if you step on these mines, things are going to get a whole lot worse and you might have an even bigger mess that is still not entirely your fault, but that you have a part in, right? And so, so we're going to talk today about how you deal with coming in and just discovering probably things you didn't find out in the interview, right?
Yeah,
you might know some, but just finding out, man, this place is in worse shape than I realized.
And remember our line in Replanting Rural Churches. I don't know if you wrote it or I wrote it, but remember when you sign on to replant or to revitalize or to simply pastor that church, you are signing up to climb Mount Everest with like 110 years of baggage, yeah. 100 and, you know, however long that church has been in existence, you're signing up to carry that load to the top of Mount Everest. Yeah. And so as you try to replant that church, revitalize that church and so forth, you're signing up for the mess. You've said, hey, I'm going to this church. This is now my mess. I'm taking ownership. And so how do we move forward? And so I like what, you know, he tied it into the kids thing. You know, all of us that have kids, we know that story. Like, hey, pick up your room. Well, I didn't make the mess, you know, whatever. And that's where he says he realizes in this moment that all of, you know, they start seeing some traction and then some of the past in the church springs up and suffocates everything. And they're immersed in confusion, apathy, outdated buildings. You don't know anything about that. Just problem after problem that kept them from reaching the lost and new people. And then your people start asking, well, why aren't we growing? We brought you in to grow this church. And so he's seeing that it's hard when, you know, the brother pastor up the road starts thriving and all of this. And he's sitting there, you know, fixing the leaky baptism or, you know, the peeling paint or the stained carpet or whatever it is. And he goes, I'm done. I'm tired of cleaning up people's messes. And so he talks about reaching the boiling point. But that was when the Lord got a hold of him. And this is an article by Keith Welton. I don't think I know him. I assume you do if you got him to write this article. But the Lord convicted him in that very moment of his sin, essentially of not wanting to be like Jesus. Because what did Jesus come to do? He literally came to clean up our messes and turn them into a masterpiece. Sorry, I had to.
Yeah, a masterpiece. That's good.
You like it? Did you like that?
Yeah. So,
how many times have I put that in? Ask me. How many times has that been in a sermon?
How many times have you used masterpiece there, Matt?
As many times as the Astros have beat the Rangers this year.
So you mentioned Keith. Keith is the pastor of Bridgeway Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. And this is really his story. But if you are a revitalizing pastor or just a pastor of a new church,
this is your story.
yeah, this is your story. Even the healthiest churches, like you're going to go in and you're going to find something, right, that needs to be fixed. And so one of the realities that I don't think we talk about enough is that church revitalization is not just like a one and done thing, right? Man, we went through that process. We are good. We are healthy. It's going to be a cyclical process, right? Because churches grow, hopefully, healthy churches grow, but then you reach a point of stagnation. And what that means is that the way that you've been doing things doesn't work anymore. It could be for any number of reasons, right? Your neighborhood's changed. Just as the culture shifted, the strategies that you've used don't work the way that they once did. And so there's going to hit a point where you probably plateau or the growth slows. And then that requires you to ask the question, okay, what do we need to change? Now, if you are constantly asking this and constantly reevaluating, okay, what is it in our methods that we need to change? What is it in our strategies, programs, et cetera, that we need to change in order to continue proclaiming the gospel? That's going to become easier, right? Than, man, this is our model. And this is what we're going to do until Jesus comes back. And when that doesn't stop, and when that doesn't work anymore, then you've got to go back and begin to make changes. That can be much more difficult. And so, you know, if you're just constantly asking the question, what needs to change? You know, there are no sacred cows other than scripture, the gospel, Jesus is Lord. I mean, there are some pillars you're not going to change, but methods and strategies need to be fluid as much as possible in order to reach your community. And so, look, you, like I said, even the healthiest church, you're going to find these things. And then here's the real kicker, Matt. After 4-5 years, you're going to be able to clean up messes that you've made. So then it literally will be your mess. It will no longer be just, man, this thing that I inherited. But yeah, in the early days, you're going to be dealing with decisions that were made sometimes years before you were there that are still affecting the church, and you've got to address them. You have to. You can't just let it go. Now, that doesn't mean on your first week that you just come in and say, all right, here's everything we're changing, right?
Yeah. Matt? And I think it's critically important, certainly with some recent news and even podcasts that are out, that it's very important to not use that, especially early on or even throughout, to tee off on the past.
Right.
And to come in and just, you know, I think I shared a post a while back that got some traction that, you know, if you're the new pastor, don't come in and just decry everything and just unload on the past pastor, all of that kind of stuff. If you're leaving, don't carpet bomb the church on the way out, like just leave graciously, all of that kind of stuff. So when you sign up, you know, essentially sign up as if you've put a, you know, a line in the sand and said, we're moving forward. I'm not going to look back and speak down on the past, all of that kind of stuff. This is our situation. Like, I never heard sermons that you preached at First Alamogordo where you sent up and said, you know, if only so-and-so hadn't bought that building and yeah, or whatever it was, or got it, or the property, it was property, bought all that property, got us in all this debt. We could be doing so much more, like stuff like that. Like, you know, you didn't do that. You know, we talked about it as brothers, things you were dealing with and stresses, all of that kind of stuff. That's good. But don't do that. One, especially early on, you're going to lose. You're going to lose real quick. And
because the reality is, no matter, and there may be a lot of truth in all of that, right? I mean, you might follow a terrible leader who made really bad decisions and left everything in a mess. But here's the thing. There's someone in your church who really loves that person.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do yourself any favors whatsoever by dragging them through the mud to prop yourself up. That is not leadership, right? Leadership is celebrating what you can celebrate, honoring the legacy of the church. And so that may just mean, you know, look, there are things that you just don't bring up, right? You figure out what you can honor, how you can cheerlead for the legacy as much as possible, and then use that as a springboard to say, listen, this is what the church has done. This is what the church has stood for in this community. And these are the things that we want to continue to stand for as we move forward. And here are some ways that here's some things we need to change. Here's some things that we need to implement in order to continue to do that, right? So you always look forward, even while you're having to, you know, dig through and clean up the messes and all that. You never want to throw anyone under the bus for that. That is not going to help you out in the long run at all.
Yeah. And brother pastor, if you're listening to this and you're in the middle of that mess and you're like, bro, that sounds nice, but that ain't me. I can't do this, whatever. By what standard do we see this? We see this in Jesus, that he laid down his life. 1 John 3:16. We see that Jesus, he denied himself, laid down his life. Mark 9:45. We see Jesus, that he washed the feet of the disciples. John 13:1-20. We see Jesus, that he waited patiently when they didn't understand. John 10:6, 12:16, 29. That list could go on and so much more. God loved you so much that he sent his one and only son to clean up the mess. And so he has, for whatever reason, said, Kyle, Matt, Clint, Bob, whoever, to this church, for this time, to have some part in cleaning up the mess, not on your own, but by the Spirit's help in following the example of Jesus and for the glory of God. Because ministry is an opportunity to become like Jesus, to die to yourself, to love others. And if there's anything that would give you an opportunity to do that, it's replanting a dying church, right? And so, again, you touched on this too. Eventually, it's your mess. I know a church that they're well past a decade now of change in leadership and everything, and still fighting the past and blaming the past and not moving forward, and that hinders you. And so eventually you got to own it and move forward. And so, yes, you can be a little frustrated at the mess that somebody left for you or the mess somebody's causing, shortcomings, all of that kind of stuff. You can have those conversations, gripe with your AMS, your buddies, all of that kind of stuff, but move on. And so remember, God has called you there. You're worth it. We love you. And you're going to do a good job. And so just keep moving forward. Keep trusting him. And mess and all, it's going to be used for his glory. And so we love you. We hope this has been an encouragement. I am in Farmersville, where I'm supposed to be. Kyle is in Alpharetta, where he's supposed to be for today. With the
I'm right where I'm supposed to be for this.
Right. And so he's doing the Lord's work. And hey, I want to just give a shout out to Criswell College, not a sponsor, but they took a chance and brought me into chapel, had a great time. And they did a neat thing there where they limit you to 20 minutes, which is scary, or probably good for them when I'm there, because the longer I talk, the more problems I can cause. So that's a good thing. However, it's kept short for a purpose, because on the other end of it, they open it up for Q&A from the crowd. So all these little first-year theologians and all of that can get their attaboy or gotcha is the word I'm looking
gotcha.
For. The gotcha questions, but had a great time. I'll share one question that I got. That I hope will encourage you and encourage you, Kyle. The guy gets up, grabs a mic, said, hey, this generation is mean. How can we make this generation kind? I was like, good luck. But I guess, and my answer was, do better. I said, hey.
That's a fantastic gospel-centered question there. Just be better.
And I said, do better. And, you know, I'm just reminded of some advice that my mentor, Dr. Matt Queen, gave. And it is to wake up in the morning and ask Jesus for opportunities to share the faith and to share the gospel with people. And, you know, we talk about divine appointments and all of that kind of stuff. And it's not that these magical divine appointments are going to necessarily show up, because you're going to have those opportunities, but it's also that you're mindful of them. And so your mindset is that I am looking for these opportunities. Then they seem to present themselves, right? We're surrounded by people that need to hear the good news. And so it's not as if this is a divine appointment. It's as if there's somebody next to you that needs to hear the good news, and now you're mindful of it. And so the same thing might be true if you wake up and say, God, you know, help me to be kinder, more gracious, and all of that. And when we started, I asked the group, the crowd, there's a packed chapel room that they had. And I asked them, raise your hand if you feel like you are at risk of being over-encouraged today, that if you got any more encouragement, you're just going to die. And nobody raised their hand. And I said, so brother, you're surrounded by people that need some encouragement. And so start with the table you're at. Look at this room, at other people that you can encourage, and then just decide to you do better. And anyway, we had a great, great time. Grateful for the time. Got to take my daughter there. Had a wonderful time in downtown Dallas. Ate some Terry Black's barbecue with Rob Collingsworth and Ryan Jesperson. Some of those guys, Luis, guys from Criswell, had great, great time downtown Dallas. Enjoyed the traffic on the way there and the way back. But if you are looking for a place to grow in your walk with the Lord and prepare to serve Him in ministry, we invite you to visit Southwestern Seminary. At Southwestern, you'll find experienced professors committed to practicing what they teach. And by being on campus, you'll get a glimpse of the many ministry opportunities in the surrounding area around Fort Worth. Want to see for yourself? You are invited to Preview Day on October 20th to find out how Southwestern can help you live your calling. Register now at swibbets.edu/preview. Sorry, I was looking at college. /preview. Sorry, guys. So we love you. Whatever mess you're in right now, keep moving forward. Clean it up bit by bit by the Spirit's help. Trust in Jesus to do the work, and doing it all for the glory of God. Kyle, send us out.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening. And I hope the Rangers clean up their mess that they got themselves in. And until next time. Oh, good.
I was just going to say, I hope I don't want it to be us and the Mariners, though. I'm not worried about them in the playoffs. I want it to be us and the Rangers. That would be so much fun. Yep, one, because maybe there would be a series here
in NFW. So, yeah, Kyle, go for it. Yep. All right. Well, until next time, may your coffee be as black as night and as bold as the gospel you declare.
Hold on. Check it out. Hold on. When I said series, Siri picked up. Turn her off.
Sorry, I'm still not
sure. No! Quit talking to me!
That may be beyond
the moment. Kyle, send us out.
Until next time, may your coffee be as black as night and as bold as the gospel you declare.
I'm totally leaving that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you people?